praise the Lord for the opportunity to serve Him, and we praise the Lord for what He is doing. We're very thankful. It is Thanksgiving time. The message this morning is not specifically a Thanksgiving message, but we always have so much to be thankful for. And honestly, if we truly say that we love the Lord and that we're thankful for what He has done for us and given to us, our response to that should be to faithfully serve Him. Amen? That should be our response, is to faithfully serve Him. In the video, a few things that you saw, I will mention some as we go through the message, but near the end, there was a prayer request list, and one of the items on that was a Bible Institute, and we are planning to begin a Bible Institute to train up primarily young men, but also young ladies as well. And we will be beginning that in June. So please pray for that. We would like to start an extension ministry in a relocation area. That's still really a matter of prayer. So pray for that. This past year, we had two young people that graduated from Bible college that we had sent to a Bible college about an hour and a half from our ministry. And we have another young lady that is praying about beginning Bible college in January. So God is doing a lot of things. God has given us a great ministry of young people. We've been able to start the Christian school. We praise the Lord for that. You saw a picture. It said teacher's quarters. If you know anyone that God is leading, that's in education, that wants to teach, and God is leading to even spend a year or two on the mission field, we have a place for individuals to live. And in our Christian school, we're using the Abeka curriculum. We do teach primarily in English, and God is blessing with that. We did begin first grade. The school year goes from June through the first week of April. A little different than the American schedule, but we are always looking for interns and teachers and so forth. So if you would pray for that as well. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. I'm going to read verses 14 through 21. When you find your place, if you could stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Ephesians chapter number 3, follow along as I read, beginning in verse 14. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Verse 21, would you read that with me? "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank You, dear God, for this local church gathered together to worship You. What a blessing, what an opportunity You've given us. I thank You for the Bible, for the Scriptures. I pray, dear God, that during this time, that if there be even one lost soul in our midst, Lord, that does not know for sure that heaven will be their eternal home, they've never made the decision to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. But Lord, most here would give testimony of knowing Christ as Savior. And I pray, dear God, that You would encourage us, strengthen us, but also challenge and convict us, Lord. Help us, dear God, to truly surrender ourselves unto You. Guide and direct in everything said and done. May You be honored and glorified in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. You may be seated. We do truly have so much to be thankful for. And this morning, I do want to give us some reminders and for us to really focus on our priorities and surrendering ourselves to the Lord. The title of the message this morning is Serving God with a capital G. Serving God with a capital G, you may wonder where that's coming from with these scriptures. And the scriptures that we read are a prayer. They are a prayer of the Apostle Paul for the church at Ephesus, and that they truly would have inner fullness, that they would be strengthened and grow, and that they would every day becoming more and more like Christ. That is what God desires for each and every one of us. In the video, at the beginning of the video, did you see those masses of people? You saw those masses of people at the beginning of the video. The first couple frames were a different location in Manila, but the second group of pictures was Antipolo. That's where we minister. And what that was a picture of, we experience that every single year during Holy Week. That is Maundy Thursday. That is Thursday night into the early morning hours of Good Friday. Antipolo is the pilgrimage capital of the Philippines, and tens of thousands of individuals come walking up the hills, miles and miles, up the hills from Manila into Antipolo to walk to the cathedral and bow down to a statue of Mary. Bowing down literally to a statue of Mary there in Antipolo, Our Lady of Peace and Good Voyage. That statue was brought to the Philippines several hundred years ago on a ship that went through a typhoon, was almost destroyed, but the ship made it, and they give credit to that statue of Mary. They literally bow down and worship idols in the Philippines. And anyone that buys a new car, they bring it to dedicate it at that Catholic cathedral to get it blessed. When they're going to be traveling out of the country and so forth, they come to Antipolo first to get a blessing and so forth. And my first time in the Philippines back in the year 2000 in the city of Tacloban, I saw the passion parades. I saw them beating themselves, beating one another. I've never personally seen it, but every year there are those that are literally crucified. They have themselves nailed to a cross trying to win favor with God. The Philippines is a place of idol worship. And other places around the world, I think of Hinduism and so forth, they literally have millions of gods. In this country, we do not bow down and worship objects most of the time. Most of us, we're not guilty of carving out a wooden object or buying a statue and bowing down and worshiping that statue, but yet, here in America, the greatest nation on earth, a land of freedom and prosperity, we do have many things that come into our lives like little gods with a little g that end up distracting us and taking the place of the one true God, the creator of the universe, the savior of our souls. And yet, many times we turn away. What are some of those things that we turn to? Your pastor mentioned sports earlier, and that's a biggie. That is a big one. And for some, a team does become an idol. In some cases, a certain player and so forth becomes an idol. I'm not going to touch on college basketball. That's too dangerous for me to touch on here. But NBA basketball, I don't know that there are any LeBron James fans here, but we spent a couple months in Los Angeles because of the health of Ivy's mother, and I've never been a fan of LeBron James because of his arrogance and so forth. He is a great basketball player. None of us can deny that. But in Los Angeles, billboards all over the place, the king has arrived, and people really worshiping a man. And that should not be the case. Some of us, it's our boat and our fishing rods or our gun collection, whatever the case may be. In the case of some Americans, it's their bank account. Most of us don't have that problem, amen? But for some, it's their bank account, their position, the possessions that they have. There are so many things that we put first before the one true living God. And truly, our focus must be serving the one true God. God with a capital G. How awesome is your God? My God is awesome. He is an awesome God that first of all saved my soul, but He has done so much in our lives, and we have just seen Him do miracles, do amazing things that we didn't think could be done. We truly serve an amazing God. I hope that you are not serving the gods of this world. I hope you're not focused on earthly material possessions and so forth that will fade away. They get burnt up in fires, as was mentioned today in our Sunday school class, those horrible fires in California, and people losing everything. The hurricanes and typhoons and stuff that come through, they just wipe out everything. But no one can take away our salvation and our relationship with the Lord. Amen? Very quickly, I want to give you seven reminders. Seven reminders. Number one, we serve a God that is able. Do you believe that? We serve a God that is able. We're going to skip towards the end of our scripture passage to begin with, and we'll go back through the others in a moment. But verse number 20, I don't have time to do this verse justice, but I want you just to look at this verse and see now unto Him that is able to do. God, is there anything God is not able to do? Nothing is impossible with the Lord. Amen? Nothing is impossible with the Lord. There is a Bible tract out there that says three things God cannot do, and that is true. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. God cannot change. The character of God does not change. When we get away from the Lord, it's because of us, not because of God. God does not change, and God cannot allow an unsaved sinner into heaven. He cannot allow someone into heaven that has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. But everything else, there is truly nothing impossible with God. We serve a God that is able. I don't know what you're facing today, but God is able to help you in any situation that you're dealing with. Our God is able to do miracles. He doesn't always choose to, but He is able. Amen. And He wants us to put our faith and trust in Him. But we look back at this verse. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding, exceeding abundantly above, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. These scriptures are really focused on spiritual growth, spiritual strength that God wants to see in each of us. And no matter what you think of, no matter what you want to accomplish for God, you could have the greatest imagination in all the world, but God wants to do even more in you and through you. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? God wants to do so much in your life, in your family, and through you. And every bit of that brings honor and glory to Him. God is able. We serve a God that is able. Number two, we serve a God that hears and answers prayer. Oh, I hope you believe that. I hope that you are a person of prayer. Most of us, we fall short in our prayer lives. I'm guilty. I should pray more than I do. And I think that would be true of every one of us, but yet I've realized over the years that really the Bible tells us that we are to be continuous in prayer. We are to pray without ceasing. And God gives us so much time and so much opportunity to pray. We serve a God that hears and answers prayer. David the psalmist, Psalm 86:7, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou will answer me. David knew he had many struggles in his life, much of it because of his own sin, but he would call out to God knowing that he could trust God, that God would answer. The Apostle Paul, right here in our passage, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a man of prayer. Paul was a man of prayer, praying, knowing that he was praying to a hearing God, an answering God. And it says, I bow my knees. We don't have to be physically on our knees to pray. You can be driving your car. You can be, whatever you're involved in, you can be talking to your Creator, to your Maker, to your Savior. We don't have to be in church to pray. God wants you continuously in prayer with Him. And I know that God is a God that answers prayer. In November of 99, I knew the Lord wanted us in the ministry, going to the mission field. I shared it with my wife, and she ignored me at that time. In March of 2000, I publicly surrendered in our missions conference, and Ivy was not happy about it. She was not happy. She grew up in the Philippines, a third world country, and she had worked her whole life to get to America and enjoy the American dream. Enjoy the prosperity that we have here. And she came over, recruited as a nurse, and God allowed us to meet and get married, blessed us with two children, both with great jobs and the American dream. And then here I am saying that God is calling us to go back to the Philippines to minister there. And she did not want to. She honestly did not want to. I spent 4 years praying, fasting, that God would change her heart. And God did. God did. We serve a God that hears and answers prayer. Are you willing to call out to Him? Are you willing to trust Him with your prayers? Sometimes our faith is so small. Our faith is so small. Even a simple example like Vacation Bible School. What you saw in there was our second year of Vacation Bible School. The first year, we only had 40 kids. We had a lot of problems and so forth that first year. We only had 40 children. This second year, I was praying for 100 kids. That's all I wanted. I would be happy for 100 kids. God gave us 150. If I had prayed for 200 or 250, what could God have done? So much more. Sometimes our faith is so small. We don't trust Him. We need to take that step of faith. And truly trust Him. We do serve a God that hears and answers prayer. Number three, remember, we serve a God that is able to save souls. We serve a God that is able to save souls. Verse 15 says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Are you a part of the family of God? Are you a part of the family of God? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can know that free gift if you are willing to put your faith and trust in Him. If you've never made that decision, I would love to sit down and show you how you can personally know. Pastor, others here would love to show you how you can know that heaven will be your eternal home. I am so thankful that someone was willing to share God's word with me. I went to a business meeting. I was not saved in a church. I went to a business meeting. I was a finance major in college. I wanted to be an investment banker on Wall Street and make millions of dollars. That was my goal in life. And I went to this business meeting to learn about a financial opportunity. I praise the Lord that the man there sharing was a Christian. And the first thing he did was share his testimony. He shared his testimony about salvation and a near-death experience, and that made me realize I was not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. In the Philippines, I've preached many funerals, from that of a 2-month-old, a 14-year-old boy, up to those in their 70s and 80s. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. It does not matter our age. Do you know for sure that heaven will be your eternal home? But let me also ask you this. You have a beautiful little Bible tract, an invitation to invite people to church. Do you take these simple little cards and are you willing to pass them out? God is able to save souls, but I mentioned at the beginning that these are reminders for us. God is able, but God wants to use us. God saves souls using people. And we must be willing to take the Word of God, even this simple Bible track, and hand it out to people. If you've never done that before, I want to challenge you just to be willing to take it and hand it. You don't even necessarily have to talk to the person to begin with, but you need to learn to be able to invite them, to share with them what this is, and even, do you know enough Scripture? If you've been saved any length of time, honestly, between you and the Lord, examine your heart. Could you, without your Bible, share the Word of God enough to lead someone to the Lord? Every one of us, if we are a child of God, we should be able, we have a responsibility. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's not just for your pastor or for a missionary. That is for every one of us as God's children, serving God with a capital G. We are to be involved in the ministry. God never saved anyone just to sit in a pew, amen? God never saved anyone just to sit in a pew. And He wants every one of us involved. All right, very quickly, number four, we serve a God that provides every need. We serve a God that provides every need. Do you believe that? I hope that you believe that in your life, that you've seen God work in your life. Look at verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. How rich is God? Infinitely. God owns everything, amen? There is nothing outside the ability of God. There is nothing outside the reach of God. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Now, these scriptures right here, honestly, are focused on the spiritual, not the material. Look at it. And if we will trust Him spiritually, we will be willing to trust Him with our lives and materially, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. God has so much to offer you and I, and we miss out on His blessings because we do not truly trust Him every day. We must trust Him by faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about us. We must put our faith in Him for salvation, but we must put our faith in the Lord every single day to trust Him, to surrender ourselves unto Him. Matthew chapter 6 tells us that first we should seek the kingdom of God. Put God first and all these things will be added unto you. All these things will follow. Well, we learned, I know recently you had your missions conference. And back in 1997, beginning of 98, is when we first stepped foot into an independent Baptist church. When we were first married, we didn't know the differences in Baptist and so forth. And so we heard a preacher on the radio. We said we need to go to that church. And that's where we learned and understood about tithing, giving back 10% to the Lord. That's where we learned about Faith Promise Missions giving and giving to the missions program. And we got involved, and every year we increased that. I'm a finance person. I'm a numbers person. Numbers should add up. Pastor, the numbers didn't add up. It did not add up, but yet God always provided every need. We never went without. God always blessed and God multiplied. But it's not all just about money. No, when we faithfully give unto the Lord, give Him what is due to Him. Give Him by trusting Him with Faith Promise Missions. Oh, God just gives you joy and peace that abounds. I can't explain it, but God is so good and truly does provide every need that we have. Our God is amazing. Number five, we serve a God that has victory in the battles. We serve a God that has victory in the battles. When we look at this verse, it doesn't specifically talk about the spiritual battles, but we must realize that every part of the Christian life is a spiritual battle. Satan is looking for the tiniest little door that you will open for him, that he can get his foot in there and stir up trouble in your life. And Satan hates the institution of marriage because it was created by God. Satan wants to destroy your marriage. Satan wants to destroy your children and your family. Satan wants to destroy the ministry and testimony of your pastor, this church, and each one here serving the Lord. Satan desires to destroy that. But when we look at verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. When we surrender unto the Lord, when we spend time in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, hearing the preaching of God's word, when we spend time reading and praying and having a close walk with the Lord, we are strengthened day by day. We grow closer and more Christ-like every single day, and God is able to use that we truly have victory in the battles. We know that overall, God has already had the victory, amen? God has already had the victory, and when you trust Christ, you are victorious in the end, but we still have the daily struggles, and we can look to the Lord. I think of Ephesians chapter 6, and the Lord tells us to put on the whole armor of God. To put on the whole armor of God, that means being faithful to the Lord, spending time reading, studying God's word, being in your place under the preaching and teaching of God's word in the local church. The children of Israel, they had ups and downs. They would trust God for a short time, and then they would turn their back on him. We must keep our eyes stayed on thee. Number six, we serve a God that transforms lives. Has he transformed yours? Are you different? Are you a new creature in Christ? Look back at these scriptures, beginning again there in verse 16. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. When we trust Christ, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That's a change right there. Amen? That is a great change. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. God's fullness is limitless. And God wants to work in our lives. God has transformed us. I talked about praying for my wife for 4 years. What a transformation I've seen in her desire now. We would rather be nowhere else than in the Philippines. In the Philippines, we have seen lives changed and transformed. A young lady, Mary Joy, she was one of our first converts when we arrived there in 2013. She's been to Bible college, and now she's one of our school teachers. She was very active in the Catholic Church, working with the local priests and so forth, very, very involved, along with her sisters who are also involved in the ministry. I think of Mike and Maribel heading for separation. Mike, a very devout Catholic, and all he cared about was his job. And now, for the last couple years, they've been faithfully serving the Lord. He quit that job. They have a business together, and he's focused on his family. God transforms lives. He wants to transform yours. He wants to transform your life. And we must be willing to surrender ourselves. I think of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. What's the next couple words? A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If we're truly thankful and we say, yes, I love God, our reasonable service is to give ourselves back to him, to serve God with a capital G, giving ourselves back to him, a living sacrifice, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You and I, God wants to transform us. He wants to work in us. He wants to work through us. Number seven, last but not least at all. This actually is the most important. Verse 21, number seven is we serve a God that deserves all the glory. We serve a God that deserves all the glory unto him. Be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Do you give glory to God? This life is not about us. It's all about him. It is all about him, and God is so good. No matter the challenges, difficulties that we face, we serve a God that is so good. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to serve Him. Satan puts so much in our paths to distract us and take us away. I pray that maybe something was said this morning just to remind you and to challenge you. What is your God able to do? My God is able to do so much. Are you serving the one true God? What are you willing to do for Him? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I do have a couple questions for you this morning. First of all, is there anyone here that would say, "Preacher, if I were to die today, I don't know that I would go to heaven. I don't know that heaven would be my eternal home. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out." Is there anyone here willing to humble themselves enough to say, "I don't know that I'll go to heaven"? Anyone at all? Anyone? Okay, then everyone here is saying that they have trusted Jesus Christ by faith, repenting of their sins, but before Him and asking Jesus Christ to save you. If that is true, I do have a question for you this morning. Is there anyone here that would say, I'm not serving the Lord as I should be? Anyone willing to raise their hand and say, "I'm not serving the Lord as I should be"? Many hands. Anyone else? I would love to pray for you this morning. Thank you for those hands. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I do thank You for this time. I thank You for Pastor Moore, his leadership here. Lord, I thank You for this congregation, these people. Lord, You want to work in and through every one of us for Your honor and glory. I pray for these individuals, Lord, and that You truly, that the power of the Holy Spirit working in them would convict them and challenge them. If there be sin in their lives, that they would come and confess it unto You at the altar this morning. Don't hold on to it. But Lord, maybe it's just a matter of having been complacent and not focused as they should be. I pray, Lord, that they would truly come and dedicate themselves unto You. Just give it to You. Lord, guide and direct in this time of invitation. In Jesus' precious name, amen.